because of his position in the Shara Melech, became aware of the true nature of the Gzerah. Vayigra Mordechai is begadav vayilbash sak vayefer vayetze betoch ha'ir vayizak zaka gedola umara. And he wore sackcloth and ashes, and he went out in the streets, and he made a public demonstration of his tsar over the gzera against Klal Yisrael. Vayavo ad lifnei Shar HaMelech ki ein lavo al Shar HaMelech b'levush sak. He could come up until the gates, but he couldn't actually enter into the court wearing his sackcloth. B'chol medina u'medina makom asher dvar HaMelech v'daso magia. Evil gadol by Yehudim, v'tzom u'b'chi u'mispeid, sak v'ever yutzal u'rabid. So every country, as the edicts would arrive, they were in great tsar over the danger to Klal Yisrael. V'tavona naros Esther v'sarisa, v'yagidu la, v'tizchachal malka ma'od, v'tishlach begadim l'halbish, as Mordechai u'lahasir sak u'me'alav v'lo kibel. So there was a vikuach going on here that when Esther found out, she was very distraught, and she sent clothes to dress Mordechai. In other words, there was a vikuach that she felt that Mordechai should dress in his mechuba clothes and come into the Shar HaMelech and try to speak to people and to develop political connections and try to overcome the gzera through natural hishtadlus. And Mordechai felt that no, that this is not a time for natural ishtadlus. This is a time for tefillah, that the only thing that can overcome this gzera, that it was a real gzera min hashamayim against Klal Yisrael, and therefore Klal Yisrael needed to be awakened to do tshuva and to daven, and that was the only real way to overcome the gzera. Vatigra Esther la'asach misari se'amel asher ha'amid lefaneha v'tzaveo amordechai la'das maza v'al maza. So Esther sent Hasach, who the Gemara say is Daniel. So Daniel was now a servant in the house of Achashverosh, and she sent him as her secret messenger to Mordechai. Ladas Maza ve'al Maza. So she had two questions. First of all, she wanted to know what the Gzera was, since she hadn't yet seen the hidden message that revealed the details of the Gzera. She just knew that something. She just knew from the public decrees that something bad was brewing. So first she wanted to know Maza, what's going on? Ve'al Maza. And she wanted to understand the spiritual roots of what was the cause of the Gzera. Vayetze Hasach el Mordechai el Rechov Ha'ir, Asher Lifnei Shar HaMelech. So Hasach went out of the royal palace into the streets of the city where Mordechai was. Vayagid lo Mordechai es kol asher karau. And Mordechai told Hasach everything that had occurred. That's Parshas Akesav Asher Amar Haman Lishkol Al Ginzei HaMelech by Yehudim La'abdam. And he described how Haman was willing to pay a phenomenal amount of money to destroy the Jews. Okay, the way that Haman, that Mordechai refers to Haman, it says Kol Asher Karahu, all of the events that took place. Okay, which is a remez to the Koach Mamalik, right? Haman is Agagi, is from Agag, who was the last king of Amalek, who was spared by Shaul HaMelech. And there, and the Koach of Amalek, it says Asher Karcha Baderech, who chanced upon you in the Derech. In other words, that's the Koach of Amalek, is to see the world as Mikra, as coincidence, and to not see the Yad Hashem in the world. So to the question, al mazeh, right? Not only what is the decree, but what is the cause of the decree? So Mordechai explained to her that this is our nemesis, right? This is the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, Amalek, the koach of Mikra, the koach of Karahu, is the one who's making this gzera. And he emphasized that he's willing to pay all this money, meaning that he's willing to be moser nefesh to destroy Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's a very intense danger that Klal Yisrael is in. Va'es pasheven ksavadas asher nitan b'shushan washmiram nasan lo laharos as Esther lahagid la utzavas alavo alamelch lehischanin lovagish melofanav alamon. So he gave the message to show to Esther, meaning the hidden message, right? This is the specific detailed message that Mordechai had gotten his hands on. He gave that a copy of that to Asaph to show Esther, and Mordechai sent the instructions that she should go and plead in front of Ahasuerus on behalf of her nation. Vayavo Hasach Vayagid Esther as Dibre Mordechai. So she brought this message to Mordechai. But Tomer Esther Vasach Vetzevayel Mordechai. So she sent the message back. Kol Avim Elch Ve'am Medinos Amelch Yodim Asher Kol Ish Ve'ish Ve'isha Asher Yavo Amelch El Hachazar Apimis Asher Lo Yikrei Achaz Dazalamis Luvad Mi Asher Yoshi Lo Amelch Asher Vidazav Ve'chaya Va'ani Lo Nikrasi Lavo Amelch Zesh Lo Shemil. So Esther says that everyone knows that you're not allowed to go and approach the king in his private chambers without being called for, and I haven't been called for 30 days. The Gra explains that she was saying, what's the rush, right? The timing of the Gzera, it's only Nisan now, and the Gzera is for the coming Adar. So that's almost a whole year away. What's the rush? Why should I risk going in without being called? And especially since it's a well-known gzera that you're not allowed to intrude on the king's private space. So certainly if I try, I'm going to be punished for it. So why would I put myself in that danger? Vayagidu l'Mordechai es divrei Esther. Okay, now notice that for the first time that Hasach is left out of the discussion. It says just generally Vayagidu. So the Gra says that Achashverosh had noticed that Hasach was carrying messages back and forth, and he had been killed, and therefore they needed to find new messengers to carry their messages. Vayomer Mordechai Hashiv El Esther Al Tzidami B'Nafshech Li'Malei Beis HaMelech Mikol Yehudim. Okay, so Mordechai sends back a very severe response. He says, don't think that you can hide in the Beis HaMelech and not be included in the decree against the Jews. Okay, now, Bipashtus, he's not responding to her claim. What she said was a very rational response that what's the rush, right? So the response of Mordechai is obviously understanding that there was some kind of a negia, that what he's saying is that even though she didn't say, I'm not willing to risk my life, right? She said, just, it's what's the rush? Let's take our time. Let's wait until I'm called and invited in. Nonetheless, Mordechai understood that there was a subconscious negia that was controlling her thoughts, and that was that perhaps she's hoping that she'll be spared, and she didn't feel like she was in danger personally, so why should she put herself in danger? Even though obviously she's not, she wouldn't really acknowledge that cheshbon. Mordechai was concerned that there was an underlying negia that's making her not objective in her decisions. Okay, now why was there a rush? Why was it such a rush? And we're going to see ad kidei kach that the fast is that they're going to declare is on Pesach, and nobody ate matzah that Pesach because of the fast day. So what really was the rush, and why does she have to put herself into this danger? Okay, so the Gemara says that Davka the biur chametz this whole thing was going on just before Pesach, right? The fast is going to be on Leil Pesach. So the Gemara Pesachim, and there's a Zohar that connects that Biur Chametz is a koach, gives Klal Yisrael the koach to destroy Amalek. That Amalek, the Seor Shebi Isa, is nimshal to chametz, and therefore davka Pesach, it says be Pesach nigal be Pesach asidim liyigayel. There's a certain koach of geula for Klal Yisrael in Pesach, and therefore Mordechai realized that this was the opportune time. We can't miss this window of opportunity of Pesach time. The Yud Dalet, the Biur Chametz, that's the time that we need to overcome the gzera of Amalek, and therefore he didn't accept these stalling tactics to slow down and wait for a better time. Okay.
Okay, so the first thing he says is, don't think that you're going to escape. Then he says, Ki im hacharish tacharish be'esazos, if you keep quiet at this time, revach v'atzol yamud v'ayudim b'makum acher, a salvation will come to the Jews from somewhere else, ve'atu be'esavich tovedu, and you and your father's house will be destroyed. Umi yodeh im la'is kazos yigad l'malchus. Who knows, perhaps this is the whole reason why you came to the Malchus. Okay, so a few things going on here. First of all, the fundamental principle of Emunah, Mordechai says, is that the history of Klal Yisrael doesn't depend on individuals. That even if you mess up your Bechira and you choose not to step to the plate and take responsibility to save Klal Yisrael, don't think that means that everything's lost. That Klal Yisrael, Hashem will find a way to save Klal Yisrael one way or another. The question is whether you will fulfill your role in the world or not. Okay? And therefore it says, Ve'ad u'bezavich tovedu, that you'll be destroyed. What does that mean? That if you as an individual don't fulfill the role that you were created for, then you have no zchus kiyum. You have no justification for existing if you're not going to fulfill your role. So Mordechai gives her kind of a musar shmuz in Ashkafa, that don't think that your decision is going to affect whether or not Klal Yisrael is saved. All that your decision can affect is whether or not you're going to fulfill your purpose in the world. And Mimela, if you're not fulfilling your purpose, then you have no zchus kiyum. Okay. Not only that, it says at ubeis avich tovedu. Your beis avich will also be destroyed. Why should her beis avich? Why should her whole family be destroyed if there's no gzera against Klal Yisrael? In other words, Klal Yisrael, the gzera is going to be rescinded one way or the other, right? So if she doesn't do it, so fine. So she lost her zchus kiyum. But why beis avich? So the pshat is, who's her beis avich? Her family is from Shaul HaMelech, right? And Shaul HaMelech was the one who had Rachmanus on Agag and allowed him to live that one extra night. And that enabled him to give birth to his descendants, including Haman. So therefore, it's saying that it's your responsibility to fix up the chet of Shaul, of having Rachmanus on Agag. It's your responsibility to step up and protect Klal Yisrael from Haman. Okay, so if you don't do this necessary tikkun, then the house of Shaul will be held accountable for the continued existence of Amalek. Okay, by Tomer Esther Lahashiv El Mordechai, so she sent the message back. Lech knos es kol yudim, go and gather together all of the Jews, aninzim b'shushan, the ones who are local in Shushan, right? Because they don't have time. Again, she now understands that there's a rush, that we have to do this now when it's a time that's mesugal in the times of Pesach. So gather the local Jews in Shushan, v'tzumo alai, and make a fast, v'al toku v'al teshtu, shlosh es yamim, laila v'yom. Gam aniven arosai atzum kain, and I and my servants will also fast, u'b'chein avo amalch asher lo kedas, v'chasher avadati avadati. And then I will go against the rules of the kingship, and if I die, I accept my fate. Okay, now the turning point of the Megillah, we said that the Kitrug was Yesh Amechan Mefozar Mefurad Ben Amim. So the turning point is Lech Knosas Kol Yudim. Esther understands that in order to overcome this Gzera, we need to gather, to create Achdus, to gather all of Klal Yisrael together. Only then will we have the Koach to rescind the Gzera. Also, it's brought that there were two Inyanim of the fast. One is the Inyan of doing Tshuva and davening for the Hatzalah, but also there was an Inyan that since the Gzeru was because they were Nena from the suit of Achashverosh, so therefore they need to fast, to abstain from eating and drinking as a tikkun for the chet of being Nena from the suit. And Davka, the ones in Shushan, were the ones who were Nena from the suit that last day, and therefore they're the ones who need that tikkun. Okay. Vayavor Mordechai, Vayask Chosher Tziv Sa'alav Esther. Mordechai did an Avera and listened, did everything that Esther commanded. Okay, meaning that even though it was Pesach and he didn't eat the matzah, So he realized that was what was needed for the tikkun to prepare for Esther going and putting her life on the line and going to Achashverosh to appeal on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Okay? The Gemara points out that the Lashon Kavshir Avadati Avadati is a reference to the fact that now that she was going willingly to Achashverosh, so now she was no longer considered Anusa, and therefore she would be become Asher to Mordechai, and that was part of the fate that she accepted on herself, that this would, it was, again, there was a heter of Tzorach of Klal Yisrael, but it was still a situation that was no longer considered Anusa that would cause her to be Asher to her husband, and that was part of her mysterious nefesh of going to Achashverosh. Vayehi bayom ashlishi, vatilbash Esther malchus, vatamud b'chatzar beis hamelech, apnimis nochach beis hamelech. So on the third day of the fast, seemingly it's not entirely clear, but the third day of the fast, she went to the Beis HaMalchus and wearing the royal clothing. No, Vatamod b'chatzar Beis HaMalch ha'pnimis, nochach Beis HaMalch. She was standing in the chatzar outside of the Beis HaMalch. V'amelch yoshev al kisei malchuso v'beis HaMalchus nochach Pesach Bayis. He was sitting on the throne opposite the entrance. Okay, so the Grub points out that there was a specific Hashkacha Pratis that he was sitting on in an outer chamber looking towards the Chatzar so that she didn't end up having to barge in without being called, but she caught his eye still while she was outside and he invited her to come in. So it was part of the Hashkacha Pratis that she got started on the right foot because he happened to be sitting in the outer chamber looking out at the Chatzar. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's just take a quick recap to get our bearings now. Okay. So now, from this point on, like we said, it was a 12-year buildup. Then there was the 3-day fast, and now from here until the end is going to be 2 days. Every event is going to follow one immediately after the other, bringing the complete upheaval, the complete turnaround of the Gzeira in that short span of time. Okay, again, up until the hanging of Haman. Afterwards, the battle was much later. Okay, yeah.
I thought it said it was 4 days from the third
day. Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems that she came on the third day of the fast. That day.
Then how could it be like Pesach? How could it be like Pesach?
There are some tricky cheshbonos being miyashev all the divrei chazal, but pashtas it was, I think, Yud Gimel Yud Dalet Tesvav was the fast, and Tesvav she already came on Tesvav, she already went to the king. Okay, no, because Tesvav they were still fasting. They were still fasting on Tesvav while on the day that she came. Okay, so. No, that's what I'm saying. Not the battle. The battle was after. Till hanging Haman. Till Haman was hung. That's where it's hung. Okay, so let's see. Vayehi kiros hamelech es Esther hamalka. Omeres bechatzar no se schein ve'enav. Vayoshid hamelech le'esther es sharvit azav asher b'yado. V'tigrav Esther v'tigrav b'rosh sharvit. Okay, so right away, she finds favor in his eyes, and he has mercy, and he doesn't hold it against her that she came without being called. Vayomer la'amelech. Okay, so the Gra is going to follow through the diukim here that Achashverosh offers her two things. He offers her, what can I do for you personally, malach, and ma bakashaseich, what is your petition on behalf of someone else? Okay, so if there's something that you want for yourself, I'm willing to grant it, and also if you want to petition on behalf of someone else, I'm also willing for your kavod to grant that favor. Okay. Vatomer Esther, imal amelch tov, yavo amelch vahaman hayom, el amishta asher asisi lo. So she invites Achashverosh to come together with Haman. Okay. Now, why is she doing this? Why does she want Haman to be there? So, in the end, what's going to end up happening is that because he's there on the spot, the gzera can be implemented immediately, right? That Haman, Achashverosh is filled with anger and he right away decrees the gzera. But what was Esther thinking when she invited in, we're going to see there's going to be two separate parties. Why was it important for her to each time invite Haman? So the Gemara brings a few different pshatim. One is that she was trying to make Ahasuerus suspicious that there was a relationship between Esther and Haman. That we're going to see that there are different implications that Haman was actually plotting to overthrow Ahasuerus and take over the Malchus. And part of that was that she was trying to arouse suspicion that that he was somehow, there was some kind of a affair or whatever relationship going on between her and Haman in order to get Haman killed. And the Gemara says she was willing to get herself killed by making him suspicious of such a relationship. Okay, there's another interesting shot. The Gemara says that she knew that the Jews all know that they have this ace up their sleeve. They all know that the queen is really Jewish, and they're all assuming that everything's going to turn out okay because Esther will take care of us. So therefore, she bedavka wanted to invite Haman to make the Jews think that she'd turned against them. Okay? That davka, she wanted the Jews to stop relying on her and to realize that they need to daven to Hashem, that only Hashem could save them. So that's another pshat. She wanted to make the Jews suspect that she had turned against them. Okay? There's an interesting postscript. The Gemara brings four or five different explanations of what her rationale was for inviting Haman. And then it says that one of the Amoraim asked Eliyahu HaNavi what the real pshat, what really happened. And Eliyahu HaNavi said that really Esther had all of the cheshbonos in mind. She really had all of the five different reasons that really she was thinking about all of them, and they all influenced her decision. Yeah.
How did the Jews know who was going to the party and who wasn't? It was a three-person party.
Oh, come on. Read the headlines of the National Enquirer. I don't know. Okay. Vayomer HaMelech. Vayomer HaMelech. Maru es Haman. Wasu es Dvar Esther. Vayav HaMelech Vahaman. El Mishta. Asher Asa Esther. Okay. So now everything is going to be quick. Everything is rushed. Ahasuerus is very concerned. He wants to understand what's going on. We're going to see he's a very nervous, anxious king, and especially he's going to fall for this idea of the jealousy, and he's going to start suspecting that Haman is plotting something against him, and therefore he's anxious to right away find out. He wants to get to the bottom of this. Let's make this party, and then I'll find out what the secret is. So again, he offers her two things, a she'ela and a bakasha. Again, if it's something for yourself or if it's something for other people. Vatan Esther Vatomer she'ela si'u bakasha si'. So she right away acknowledges that you're right. I have both a she'ela and a bakasha. In other words, that much she gives away that it is in fact both on behalf of myself and on behalf of somebody else. So what is her request? Im matzah sitein bein ha'melech v'im al ha'melech tov. Then I want to invite you to a second party, and then I'll reveal what's really on my mind. Now, why did she push it off? Why did she have to make a second party? Why didn't she just tell Ahasuerus right away? Okay, so the pashup shot is that she wanted to continue planting these seeds of suspicion. She wants to keep, like, twisting the, right, putting pressure on Ahasuerus that he should be suspicious of Haman and jealous and all of these emotions that are taking over him. She wants to play into that and give him another day of stewing, trying to understand what's going on. Okay? Another point that Grum makes is he says that there's a certain aspect of Hashkafa Pratis that when the hashkacha changes, that there's some kind of a remez, that even before the hatzalah comes, that Hashem is merames to Klal Yisrael, that there's like a nachas ruach, that there's a change in the hashkacha min hashamayim. And therefore, she hadn't seen any remez, she hadn't seen any giloy that things were changing, and therefore she was hesitant to push her luck and to start appealing to Ahasuerus. She wanted to wait for some kind of a simon min hashamayim. The Gra says, I think it's the son of the Gra says on
the Pirush of Shmoneh Esrei. It says Mishan Umivtal Tzadikim, that Hashem gives the tzaddikim a mishan, something to support them even before the final geula. So in this context, we're going to see this makes a lot of sense out of the whole parsha of the geula of Mordechai. In the simple flow of the Megillah, it's not clear why the whole parade of Mordechai made a difference to anything. Right? At that point, there was still a gzeira against Klal Yisrael. What did it help that Mordechai was paraded through the city? So the Gra is going to say that that was the simon that Esther was waiting for to see that the Hashkacha was changing. Vayetze Haman b'yom ahu, sameach v'tov lev. Haman left in the best spirits, right? He was just invited to this private party with the king and the queen, and tomorrow he's coming again. He's at the top of the world. Ukiros Haman as Mordechai b'shar ha-melech, v'lo kam v'lo zami menu, v'yimale Haman al Mordechai chema. When he saw Mordechai sitting there, he was overcome with anger. Okay, a person who's looking for kavod, the smallest pigia in their kavod, it ruins, it takes away all of the chashivus that they had experienced. So when he sees Mordechai, his obstinance and his the lashon lo kam v'lo zai, he didn't stand up and he didn't flinch like zai. He didn't budge. He didn't show any sign of being intimidated by Haman, and that he was overcome with anger. Vayisapek Haman, that Haman had to withhold himself, restrain himself from going and physically attacking Mordechai. Vayavo al beso vayishlach vayavo es oava vazerishisto. So he went home to contemplate what to do, and he sent for his loved ones and Zereshishto. Okay, so we see right away that the relationship that Zeresh is not part of his loved ones, right? So that's, we're going to see that there's this strain going on in his house. Vayisaper lahem Haman es kvod asro v'rov banav v'es kol asher gilu amel v'es asher naso al asar avdei amel. Okay, so he starts ranting and raving, right? He starts going on and on about how chashev he is and how much kavod he gets in the Beis HaMelech. Vayomer Haman af lo hevia Esther Hamalka ima melech al mishta asher azza kim osi v'kamala machar ni kariwa ima melech. Okay, so he says the crowning glory of his career is he's invited to the second party. V'kol ze inenu shavali v'kol es asher ani roa as Mordechai Yehudi Yoshev b'shar ha-melech. And as long as I see Mordechai sitting there refusing to show me kavod, all of this kavod that I have from the king is worthless. V'tomer lo Zeresh isho v'kol ha-havav. So again, Zeresh and his loved ones all told him. Yasu eitz gavo ha-chamishim amat. Make a tree 50 amas tall. U'beboker amor ha-melech v'yitlu as Mordechai ha-lav. Ubo imamelach elamishta sameach. So right away, don't wait. Make a tree 50 amas high, and tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, go and ask the king to hang Mordechai. And that way, by the time you go to the party, you'll have already taken care of this one blockage in your simple, and you'll be able to enjoy the party to its fullest. Vayitav adavar lifnei Haman, Haman vayaseitz. Okay, so again, so he right away follows Zeresh's suggestion, right? She's the one who calls the shots. She's the one who tells him what to do. And he goes and builds the tree. Okay, now the Grub points out, why do you need a tree 50 amos to hang Mordechai, right? Mordechai, how tall could he be? 2.5, 3 amos, right? He can't be 49 amos. What do you need a 50 amos tree to hang a person? So the Gra explains that what was the Kavana? The Kavana was that if they make gallows 50 amas high in Haman's house, then when they're in the Beis HaMelech, he'll be able to look out the window and see Mordechai hanging from the gallows. Right? That was Haman's plan. In order to really enjoy this feast, the best thing is going to be I'm going to look out the window and I'm going to see this 50 amas high tree with Mordechai hanging there, then I'm really going to enjoy it. Right? And what does that bring about? Again, everything is Nafohu, that Haman's plot is exactly at the last minute, Harbon has to do is point at the tree and say, look at that tree, right? The evidence is right there out the window because
he made it visible from the palace. Balaylahu nada dashnas and melech vayomer lahavias sefer azichronos dibra yamim vayu nikraim lifnei melech. Okay, so that night the king couldn't fall asleep. Why couldn't he fall asleep? Because his mind is racing. What's going on? What is this relationship that Esther? Why does she keep inviting Haman to these parties? And why does she say that she has something that she wants to request on behalf of someone? What's she going to ask for? I promised her ad chatzi amalchus that I'll do favors for people who she asks for favors for. I have to plan my strategy for what's going to happen at this party tomorrow and how I'm going to deal with it, right? That's what he's tossing and turning. So what's his etzah? So he says, bring the sefer zichronos. Maybe there's somebody who I owe a favor to, and she's going to come and say, I owe somebody a favor, and ask me for chatzi amalchus. So Achashverosh has an idea. Maybe if I can preempt and I could pay back any debts that I have, then she won't have a justification to ask for something tomorrow. Vayimtza kasuv asher higin Mordechai al bigson v'serish shnei zaris amalch mishomri asaf asher bigshul lishloach yad b'melach achetreish vayomer amalch ma nase yikar gdulu Mordechai al zeh vayomru nar amalch misharzav lo nase yimo davar. So he realizes that there was this oversight that Mordechai had saved his life and he had never done any favor for Mordechai to repay him for that. So Achashverosh right away, a red light goes off. He says, wait a second. Now I see what's going on. It must be that Esther is, we know, he knew that there was a relationship between Esther and Mordechai, right? He knew that Mordechai had raised her. She's going to come to me tomorrow and she's going to say, I owe Mordechai this favor, and she's going to ask me for something outrageous to repay Mordechai for saving me. So right away, he wants to pay off his debt to Mordechai so that she won't have any claim. And then he hears some motion outside in the chatzer, right? It's already the wee hours of the morning. And who's there first thing, bright and early, right, with his request to kill Mordechai? So Haman was there bright and early trying to get Mordechai killed on the gallows which he was up all night building. So he called Haman to come in, but not for Haman to make his request, but because he wants to get an etzah from Haman on the topic that concerns him. How should I repay somebody who the king wants to give him kavod? So Haman starts imagining, I'm the most chashuv person in the melech. Who else would the king want to give kavod to? So mistami means for me. Vayomer Haman el melech. So then Haman is going to answer based on what he would want done for himself. Isha shemer melech habetz biyakaro. Yaviyo levush malgus asher lavash bo amelech. Vesus asher rachav alav amelech. Asher nasan kasser malgus brosho. Okay, so there are different ways of reading this. The pashtus is that bring the clothes that the king wore on the day of his coronation and the sus that the king wore on his coronation, and let this person be paraded around town wearing the royal clothes and on the horse that the king rode during the coronation. Not Stam, a servant, but one of the ministers should be in charge of taking care of this. They should call out, this is the way to show kavod. Okay? Now, assuming that Achashverosh, like Chazal say, was already starting to question Haman's intent and starting to suspect that maybe he's plotting against the Malchus. Okay, so there's no greater way to strengthen that suspicion than to tell him, I want to wear the clothes that you wore during your coronation. Right? If you're already wearing the clothes of the coronation and riding the sus from the coronation, there's it's a very short step from there to declaring yourself the king and overthrowing Ahasuerus. Okay, so unknowingly, Haman is very, very strongly strengthening Ahasuerus' suspicions against him, that he has some kind of a plot. Okay, which is all going into the background that is going to make Ahasuerus very quick to punish Haman. Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman, Maher Kachas Elvush VeZasus, Kasher Dibarta VeAsei Kein LeMordechai Yehudi, HaYoshi B'Shar HaMelech, Al Tapel Davar Mikol Davar, Asher Dibarta. That yet now you have to go and do all the things that you just requested, and do all those things for Mordechai, who's the person who is really HaMelech HaBeitz B'Yikaro. Okay? So the psukim end there, but we can fill in the rest of the conversation. Probably went something like, "Oh, and by the way, what did you come for?" Oh, never mind. Right? He probably decided that it wasn't the best time to ask the king to kill Mordechai. Okay. Vayikach Haman es halavush ves asus vayivash es Mordechai ve'erkev bruchov vayir vayigra l'fan of kache yasel ish asher amel chavetz bikro. So Haman was the one who was assigned this lowly responsibility of having to parade Mordechai through the streets. Vayashav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech, v'Haman nidchav al beso avel v'chafoy rosh. So now Mordechai returned to the gates of the city, to his position of chashivus, and Haman was pushed aside. He was like a nobody. He was just the servant who was leading the horse, and he was suffering tremendous embarrassment, and Chazal say avelus, because the daughter dumped the chamber pot on him, thinking it was Mordechai, and then committed suicide. So he was also in Avelus. Okay? Now again, in the simple pshat, this didn't bring about any salvation of Klai Yisrael. There's still a gzera in place. Haman is still the top minister. Okay? But this showed us, this showed Esther that there was a change in the Ashgacha, that Klai Yisrael was back. Ein Mazel Yisrael, the Gzeira Min HaShemayim had been rescinded, and that the Klai Yisrael was returning to Godless, as we're going to see that Zeresh herself appreciated this. Okay, it says, "Vayisaper Haman Lazeresh Ishto Lekol Ohavav as Kosher Karahu." Okay, so how does Haman react? He says, "Oh, look at all these funny coincidences! Isn't that a funny coincidence that I was going to the king to ask him to kill Mordechai, and then I ended up having to parade him through the street saying, 'Kacha yasela lishasheremel chavetz bekoro'? Isn't that an interesting coincidence, right?" And that's the attitude of a malik, that it's all mikra. Vayomru lo chachamav v'zeresh ishto. Okay, right? She was oava v'zeresh ishto. Now it's chachamav v'zeresh ishto. The wise people and also zeresh. Imi zera yehudim Mordechai. If Mordechai is from the zera yehudim, asher hechilosa l'impolofanav lo tuchalo ki nafolta polofanav. Once you start falling against him, in front of him, you'll continue to fall. In other words, Zeresh understood something that Haman didn't. That ain mazel l'Yisrael. That you thought that there was a mazel, that the poor indicated that there was an opportunity to destroy Klai Yisrael. But once you see that Klai Yisrael is rising, they've achieved this madrega of Ein Mazel Yisrael, they've risen up above the mazalos, so then nothing you do is going to be able to overcome them. Now, presumably, if Haman would have internalized that message, he would now try to devise a new strategy, right? Recalculating route, right? Now it's time to rethink my plan. If there's no longer a gzera min hashamayim against Klai Yisrael, I have to find a way to minimize, to do damage control, right? What happens? Oda medabri mimo. They were still discussing this. Visari samel chigiu v'yivalu lahavi as Haman. They rushed to bring Haman el mishta asher asa Esther. Okay, so there was no time for damage control. He was rushed right away to the next stage of the Su'uda, and therefore he couldn't try to reverse course. Vayavo Amelech v'Haman lishtos im Esther Hamalka. So now they came to the final meeting, the final party of Esther with Haman and Ahasuerus in attendance. Okay, so now just again to get a little perspective going into this parak. Okay, so we've seen the outcome enough times right? Twice, at least twice a year, we see that the outcome is that Esther is going to say, Haman wants to kill my nation, and Ahasuerus says, okay, so kill Haman. But just to keep in perspective that this was not at all a foregone conclusion. There was no rational reason to expect this reaction. Rationally speaking, Haman was the top advisor. Haman wanted to kill the Jews. He, in some sense, he was justified, so to speak, because Mordechai had rebelled against the edict of bowing down to him. And we know that going back to the original Gzeira, that Ahasuerus was a willing participant. He didn't even want the money. He was happy to have the Jews killed, right? Even though he was the Tzorer HaYehudim, he had agreed. Everything was against Klal Yisrael. Lemaisa, Ahasuerus and Haman were partners in this edict, and therefore we're going to need every piece of the puzzle to fall into place exactly the way it did in order for Ahasuerus to make that snap decision to reverse course 180 degrees and turn against Haman and save Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let's see how that plays out. So they come to the final suda, Vayomer. Hamelch Esther, Gambi Yom Hasheni, B'mishta Yain, Ma Sheila Seich Esther Amalka, V'Tinasim Lach, Uma B'Kashet Seich Ad Chetzi Amalchus V'Teas. Again, he offers her whatever you want, your Sheila and your Bakasha. V'Tan Esther, Hamalka V'Tomer Im Matzasi Chen Beinecha Melch V'Imal Melch Tov. T'inasin Li Nafshi B'Sheilasi V'Ami B'Bakashesi. What's my Sheila for myself is my own salvation. And my bakasha for other people is to save my nation. Okay, now notice that everything throughout the appeal of Esther all relates to her personally. She never talks about save Klal Yisrael. It's a terrible thing to kill a nation, to wipe out a nation, or anything. You know, Klal Yisrael deserves to be saved. Everything is personal. She knows that if it comes to is Ahasuerus going to side with the Jews or with Haman? For sure, he's on Haman's side. The only thing she has to play into is the fact that he loves Esther. And therefore, everything is going to be a personal appeal to save me personally and my nation. That's what I'm asking. Kinimkarnu aniva mi lahashmi laharu glaabed vilu laavadim ulushvachos nimkarnu acharashti ke'enat sar shavu b'nazal kamel. That if it was just a minor thing that we were being sold as slaves, I wouldn't want to bother you. I wouldn't disturb you about it. But he wants to literally wipe us out. To wipe us out completely, myself and my nation. Therefore, I need to appeal to you to rescind this. Vayomer Esther Amalka. Mi hu zev eizeh hu asher melal libo lasos kein. Who is this terrible person who plots to destroy you and your nation? Vatomer Esther, Ish Tsar Oyev Haman Haraza. That she says, this Haman Haraza, she points at Haman, he's right there on the spot, and she says, this is the guy, he's the one who wants to destroy me and my nation. And again, Ahasuerus didn't realize that she was Jewish, so he never put two and two together, that the Gzeira would affect Esther. Now she reveals it at this moment, that the Gzeira is against her and her nation. The Haman nivatz milifnei hamelch v'amalka, and Haman is shocked in the presence of the king and the queen. The Gra points out that he's in a particular bind because he's in the presence of both the king and the queen. He says that if he was dealing with either one of them independently, he would have had a claim that he could have made. That if it was the queen, he would have tried to deny the whole thing and say, I didn't know it was your nation, I didn't really want to kill them, or he would have tried to back out of it. And if it was only the melech, he would have said, yeah, but the Jews deserve it, they really should be killed. But since it was in the presence of the melech and the malka, so each one of them, he couldn't speak against Klal Yisrael in the presence of Esther, and he couldn't try to deny his plot in the presence of the king, because he knew what his intention was from the beginning. Okay, now there's an interesting Chazal. There's a fascinating Gra on this. Chazal say that when she said Ish Tsar Va'Oyev Haman Haraza, that originally she was going to point at Ahasuerus and say, "You're the one who is plotting against Klal Yisrael," and it says that a malach pushed her hand aside. So now in Pshat, that doesn't seem to make sense, because why? What would she gain by blaming it on Ahasuerus? Then obviously she's not going to get anywhere with that claim. But why would Ahasuerus, you know, why would that help him, help her to rescind the Gzera? So the Gra actually invented here the idea of a Freudian slip. Okay, he says that of course practically she knew that the smart thing to do would be to blame Haman, but she personally really hated Ahasuerus, and she knew that really Ahasuerus was to blame for the whole Gzera, and therefore she was about to make a Freudian slip and accidentally pointed out Ahasuerus, because that's who she was thinking was responsible, and the Malach came and saved her from that mistake and pointed her hand at Haman. Okay, that's how the Gra explains that that Chazal. Okay. V'amelech kam b'chamaso mimishta yayin el ginas ebisan. So Ahasuerus realized that he didn't want to be hasty. He needed to cool down before deciding how to deal with the situation. So he went for a walk in the garden. The Haman Amud Levakesh al Nafsho. Haman got up. Now he wants to appeal to Esther for mercy. Me Esther Amalka. Kira ki kalsa alav hara meizamel. He saw that he was in trouble with the king. So he thought maybe he can appeal to Rachmanus from Esther to get him off the hook. V'amelech shav miginas abisan. At that point, the king came back from his walk in the garden. El beis mishtai yayin. V'haman nofel al mita asher Esther aleh. And she happened to walk in exactly when Haman was in a compromising position. In other words, he had gone over to Esther's mattress to where she was sitting to appeal to her. And he happened to be in a very compromising position that made it look like he was attacking the queen. Vayomer HaMelech HaGam Lichvosh as Amalka Imi Babayis. Do you mean to also conquer to take the queen here in the royal palace in my presence? Hadavar Yatzi Mipi HaMelech Upnei Haman Chafir. As soon as the accusation was stated, Haman's face turned white. He was completely overcome by the significance of the threat. Of the claim that was being made against him. But Yomer Harvona, at exactly that point, Harvona points out, Echad Misar HaSim, Lifnei HaMelech, Gamine Ha'itz Asher Asa Haman L'Mordechai Asher Diber Tov Al HaMelech Omeid B'Beis HaHaman Gavoach HaMisha Amah V'Yomer HaMelech Tulu Allah. Okay, so at that point, Harvona points out, there is the tree, and right now that the king had just given this kavod to Mordechai, and Harvona reveals that the tree had been built, the gallows had been built by Haman to kill Mordechai. That just adds the extra flame to the fire. And Ahasuerus is overcome with hatred for Haman, and he gives his decision to hang Haman on that tree. Okay, and again taking into account all of the background that they had already revised the constitution so that he could judge, even though it affected the queen, he could judge it himself, right, because of Haman's own Eitza way back at the beginning. So all of those pieces that had all been put into place now come together in this one climax that he's overcome with all these mixed emotions and suspicion of Haman and his love for Esther and all of these different things coming in and being hit all of a sudden with this shocking revelation that Esther was Jewish and she was part of the nation that the Gzera was against. And again, possibly he didn't realize the extent, the Lahash Minwaro, the Abed, maybe he didn't realize that it was actually to literally kill every Jew. And based on all of these revelations and catching him in this compromising position, he sees the tree, he says, Tlu Alav, he gives the Gzera to kill him. Vayidu as Haman al Eitz Asher Hating with Mordechai V'chem as HaMelech Shachacha. Okay, so now the king is already cooled down. The king, he had a personal anger at Haman based on everything that had gone on. Now Haman is dead, and now the king is no longer angry. Okay, now we're still in suspense. What's going to happen next? Okay, in other words, once he's taken revenge against Haman,
But we don't know that he has any warm feelings towards Klai Yisrael, right? There's no guarantee that he's going to rescind the fundamental gzera against Klai Yisrael. Bayomahu Nasan Hamelcha Chashverush Lasner Hamalcha as Beis Haman Tzur Yehudim Umordechai Baal Lifnei Melch Ki Higida Esther Mahula. So at that point, the Beis Haman was given over to Esther, and at that point, Mordechai now took a more prominent role in the court. Now that it was revealed what his relationship, meaning that it was revealed presumably the blood relationship, that she was his niece, presumably not the fact that they were married, but that part was revealed, and therefore he was given the appropriate cup. Be'asar melech es tabaso, asher hevir mehaman ve'ino le'mordechai. So he took the signet ring that he had just taken back from Haman, and he gave it to Mordechai. Vatasim Esther as Mordechai al Beis Haman, and Esther gave over the authority of Beis Haman to Mordechai. Okay, so we see that Achashverosh repeats, right? He doesn't learn from his mistakes, that he saw how much trouble he got into by giving the signet ring and letting Haman make decrees according to his will. But nonetheless, he goes right away and gives it over to Mordechai and lets him take over the authority. We see that Achashverosh wasn't a responsible ruler. Whoever was his man at the time, he gives them authority and lets him take care of things. Vatozav Esther, Vatadabar Lifnei Melch, Vatibol Lifnei Raglav, Vatef Vatizchaninlo. Okay, so again, the story is not over, right? She is still sobbing and begging Achashverosh. Because she still wants him to rescind the gzera against the Jews, and there's still no guarantee. Just because he hanged Haman, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to rescind the gzera. That he held out his royal scepter, showing that she found favor in his eyes, and she stood up in his presence. But Tomer. Again, she makes all the appeal, not on behalf of Klal Yisrael, but on behalf of herself personally. If I find favor in your eyes and you care about me, so Esther says, I have a great idea. Why don't we just recall all those messages? Right, all those messages that got sent out saying that the king's, with the king's signet ring, saying that the king decrees to kill all the Jews, let's recall them. Let's send out a message that edict is canceled. How can I survive seeing the distress, the destruction of my nation? Again, appealing to the king. You don't want me to live the rest of my life being destroyed over the destruction of Klal Yisrael. So for me, as a personal favor to me, save Klal Yisrael. So the king answered Esther and Mordechai. Okay, the Gruff points out, where did Mordechai come from? Mordechai wasn't part of this meeting. Where did Mordechai come from? So we'll see the rest of the pause. See, what is Achashverosh's response? He says, "Hine Beis Haman nasati laster, v'oto talu ala eitz, al asher shalach yadob Yehudim." So he says, "I've already given over the Beis Haman and I've killed Haman. V'atem kizu al Yehudim kitov beinechem. Now you can write about the Jews anything that you want. B'shem Amelch v'chazmu b'tava Amelch. You can write in my name and you can sign it with a signet ring." But the one thing you have to realize is that an edict that was sent out in the name of the king can't be rescinded. Okay? So in other words, Achashverosh is saying, I have bad news for you. And the Gra actually says that he was afraid that when he broke this news to her that the gzera could not be rescinded, that she was going to break out in hysterics again. And therefore he first called in Mordechai to give her moral support that she wouldn't have she wouldn't faint and carry on that out of distress. Okay, in other words, the situation was b'chol not pashut. Achashverosh, it's very nice. He cares about Esther. He wants to help her out. But there's a big problem. He can't just rescind a royal decree. It was sent out with his own signet ring. He can't just retract that.
Okay, so he says, if you want to write a new edict supporting the Jews, bevakasha, but I can't rescind the original edict. Vayikru sofer hamelech beis ahi b'chodesh ha-shlishi hu chodesh sivan b'shlosha v'asrim bo v'yikasev k'cho asher tzivan mordechai el ha-yudim v'el ha-achash darbinim v'apachotz v'sarim medinos asher mehodu v'ad kush sheva v'asrim me'o medina u'medina v'yidira k'yachsavim v'am v'am k'yoshono v'el ha-yuhudim k'yachsavim k'yoshono. So they wrote new edicts and they sent them to every nation, including the Jews. Meaning, as opposed to the edicts to destroy the Jews, obviously were not sent to the Jews, but this new gzera was. Okay, now there's a time gap. Okay, again, following the progression. Okay, Haman was killed in the middle of Nisan, and the new message was only sent in Sivan. Okay, why was that? Okay, so we're going to see that the Mahal was going to be like this, that they couldn't rescind the original gzera, but since the original gzera had been very vague, what they were going to do is they were going to try to make it look like the original gzera had been either some kind of a mistake or misleading, and that the new gzera is supposed to be like a tikkun. It's supposed to be a correction of the original gzera. That's the way they wanted to make it look. And therefore, what they did was they waited for the original runners to come back, and they sent the same runners with the new message to replace the original message, because they didn't want people to think that the two messages were equal. They didn't want to think that it was two different sets of messengers and not know which one took precedence. Okay, so what did they send up? They sent it with their special fastest messengers. Asher nasan amelach la Yehudim, asher b'chol ir v'ir li kahel v'lamod al nafsham. The new gzera said that the Jews could gather together and protect themselves. Lahash midu l'harugu abed es kol chel amu medina atzarim osam tafenashim v'shalam v'avos. That they could wipe, that they should wipe out, again, the same lashonos. Lahash midu l'harugu abed. Notice it's all parallel. It's all exactly the same lashonos. Lahash midu l'harugu abed. It's all the exact same lashonos of the original gzera. So the point was to make it look like the whole thing had just been a mistake. That the gzera, oh, you thought it was a gzera to wipe out Klal Yisrael? No, it's a gzera for Klal Yisrael to wipe out their enemies. So by sending it with the same messengers, with the same lashon, with just this slight change, was meant to give the impression that this one was meant to be a correction of the original one. And the original date that had been set, that was the date. Okay. Now the Galway message, remember there were two messages, the secret message that was sent to the rulers and the public message. So the secret message had all the details. So the method was to make it look like that one was a typo and this is the correction. And the public one, all the public one ever said was Leo's Asidim, was just to be ready. So now it just substituted that the Jews should be ready to punish their enemies. So that was meant to make it look like this was the intention of the original open message. Haratzim And right away, the word was sent in Shushan Abira that the gzera was being replaced. Okay, now why all the rush? Why was it such a rush? They still had another 10 months from Sivan until Adar. They still had 10 months before the gzera was in place. So the Gra says that they were afraid of pogroms. That as long as the people had a gzera that the king wanted to kill the Jews, there was a danger that people would preempt, that they would start killing Jews. They would be mezalzel in the Jews right away and not wait for the day of the gzera. So therefore, it was a rush that they needed to get it out as soon as possible. U'mordechai yatzam lifnei ha-melech b'levush malchus t'cheles v'chura ateres zav gedola v'tachrit putz v'argaman v'ayir shushan salav v'samechas. Mordechai went out wearing the royal garments. Again, he wasn't wearing the sackcloth and ashes anymore. Now, this showed the change in the Anhaga, that now Klal Yisrael was on the rise, and they could dress publicly in the big day malchus. The Jews had light and joy and more joy and kavod. And Chazal Darshan, that this refers to Ora is Torah, simple as Yom Tov, Sason is Mila, and Yikar is Tefillin. Okay, he's saying that all of the gzeiras against Shmiras and Mitzvos had all been rescinded. And the Sfasama says that each one is represented by the essence of the mitzvah, that they connected to the aura of Torah. They saw Torah not just as a mitzvah, but they saw the light of Torah. They were raised to a madrega of seeing the simcha of Yom Tov, the sason of Mila, the ikar of Tilin, that they appreciate the essence of the mitzvahs. Yeah.
Didn't we see that Buzan Arman was shamans?
That's interesting. Was that Buzan Arman?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. We have to check that out. Good. There's the Nisivas. Okay, we'll have to check that out. Very good. Okay. Fine. So the Jews celebrated and they were able to return to an open Shmiras and Mitzvahs. There was no longer any threat to their religious freedom of Klal Yisrael, and they expressed it in a true appreciation of Mitzvahs. Kol Medina, Medina, b'chol ir v'ir, makom asher dvar ha-melech v'dazo magia, simcha v'sazon l'yehudim, mishta v'yom tov, v'rabi me'an amaretz, misyadim, ki nafal pachet ha-yehudim aleh. So the Jews celebrated this change, of course, that Ahasuerus was now supporting their rights to self-defense. And it says that they made celebrations, and it says, Rabbi Me'aretz, many of the nations of the world were Misyahadim, became Jewish. Okay. Now, it doesn't use the technical term Misgairim. It doesn't say that they converted to Yiddishkeit. So the Gra says that they couldn't actually convert at that time. There's a din that during times when Klal Yisrael has political power, we aren't allowed to accept Gairim because we're afraid that they're doing it not Lishma. We assume that they're doing it just because of the kavod of Klal Yisrael. So Dafka, in this time when Klal Yisrael was given all this kavod, they wouldn't accept Gairim. So Dafka uses the term Misyahadim. They became Jewish. In other words, it became kind of in vogue to do things Jewish style. So they started, you know, started studying Kabbalah and eating herring and lox or whatever, right? They started doing things Jewish style because it was cool to be Jewish, even though they couldn't actually convert. Okay. Ubishneim asar chodesh hu chodesh adar b'shlosha asar yom bo asher higia dvar melch v'daso lehasos b'yom asher sibru oive ayunim lishol bahem. Okay, so like we said, the theme of the Megillah is Nafohu, that when the day finally came, everything was turned inside out. That instead of this being a day of the enemies destroying Klal Yisrael, Lehefeth, it turned into a day that Klal Yisrael had the opportunity to rid themselves of their enemies. Okay, the Gra points out that there's a difference between the two Lashonos, that it refers to Sonim and Oivim. Okay, so it says that Sonim are people who just generally hate Jews, and the Oivim are the ones who actually try to take action to destroy the Jews. Okay, so we're going to see the different fate of the Sonim and the Oivim. So it says, Nikalu Hayuhudim Barehem, Nichol Medinas HaMelech HaPashverosh, Vishloach Yad B'mevakshei Rasam, V'ish Lo Amad Lifnehem, Ki Nafal Pachtam Al Koham. So what ended up actually happening on that day is that the Jews gathered to defend themselves, and since everyone realized that now the real Ratzon of the king, even though they couldn't rescind the original edict, everyone saw that the king supported the Jews, and therefore no one wanted to oppose them, and the Jews had free hand to take revenge against their enemies. V'kol sarim v'dinos v'achas tarpanim v'apachos v'osei ha'molocha asher l'melch minas'im es Yehudim ki nafal pachad Mordechai aleim. So now all of the governors and ministers all gave kavod to Klal Yisrael because they saw that Mordechai had taken over as the leading advisor to the king, and therefore no one wanted to get on Mordechai's bad side, so they all showed their favor towards Klal Yisrael. He gadol Mordechai beis hamelch v'shamo holich v'chol medinos ki aish Mordechai holich v'gadol. So Mordechai's reputation spread, and his greatness became more well known.
Vayaku Yehudim b'chol oyveim maka maka eschira v'herig va'avdan vayasu b'sonehem kiritzonim. Okay, so they struck their enemies with the maka of cherev herig va'avdan. Okay, that they both the Gra says an interesting thing. He says that first they cut them with the sword and then they killed them. They dafka tortured them. They dafka made them suffer first and then they killed them and then they destroyed the bodies. Vayasu b'sonehem kiritzonim. They did to their enemies the same things that the they wanted to do to them. Okay, so the Gra says that the sonim, we said, were the ones that the oivim were the ones who tried to kill them, so they actually got killed. The sonim, they didn't actually kill. They took revenge against them, but they didn't actually kill the people who just hated them that weren't ready to take action. Vushushan ibira hargu hayunim ve'abed chamish mos ish. Ve'as parshanasa ve'as dalfon ve'as asafta ve'as parasa ve'as adalya ve'as aridasa ve'as parmashta ve'as arisa ve'as aridai ve'as ve'izasa aseris b'nei haman ben amdasa sura yehudim haragu ubebaz biza lo shalchu es yedam. So even though the edict said that they were allowed to take biza, they wanted to show that they were doing l'shem shemayim. They weren't doing it for the wealth, and they killed the aseris b'nei haman and all of their enemies. Be'yoma huba mispar harugim b'shushan abira l'vnei amel. On that day, they right away reported to the king how many people had been killed in Shushan. In Shushan, they killed 500, and the Aseres B'nei Haman. B'Shar Medina HaMelech Ma'asu. We can only imagine what they did in the Shar Medina. In other words, they didn't have live satellite coverage, right? So they couldn't know on the spot what the results were in the other cities, but Achashverosh filled her in that in Shushan they killed 500. Certainly we can learn from that what must have gone in the other cities. Mashal ilva seich li'nasim lach umaba kasha seich od v'teas. So and still she still found favor in his eyes, and he was willing to go even further to do whatever Esther would want. But Tomer Esther imal mel tov. So she asked for another day in Shushan to continue killing their enemies and to hang the sons of Haman. So what is she after here? Why, after they've already had a day of, right, the day is past of the Gzeir against Klai Yisrael, and they weren't harmed, and they've already killed all of their enemies, so what more does she need? So the concern was that she wanted to make sure that after the fact nobody would try to revise the history, to try to misrepresent the events of the Megillah. Okay, so what she wanted was a public display that really the king supported the Jews and wanted the Jews to kill their enemies. So the way to do that is first of all by giving another day. In other words, that day Yud Gimel, there were conflicting gzeiras to kill the Jews, for the Jews to kill their enemies. So there could be room after the fact for someone to say, oh, maybe that wasn't really what the king wanted. Maybe they were rebelling when they killed their enemies. So, but on the Yud Dalet, if the next day they again have the authority from the king to continue killing their enemies, that makes it clear l'mafreya that Yud Gimel, that was really the kavanah of the king. And similarly, hanging the B'nai Haman after they were already dead, to hang their dead bodies is a way of publicizing the fact that the king was supporting the acts of the Jews. Vayomer HaMelech le'asos kein v'tinasin das b'shushan v'asasaros B'nai Haman tau. So he accepted that final stage of the request of Esther, and he hung the dead bodies of the 10 sons. Ve'ikalo Yehudim asher b'shushan gam bayom arbaasar l'chodesh adar v'yargu b'shushan shalosh meos ish u'biza lo shalchu es yedam. So they killed another 300. V'shar Yehudim asher b'mdinos ha'melech niko v'amod al nafsham. In the other cities, they stood together. Amod is lashon yachid. Okay, again, with achdus, they defeated their enemies. They killed 75,000. And again, they didn't take the spoils. That all happened in the other cities. On the 13th was the day of the fighting. On the 14th, they already rested. And that's the day that they made the celebrations for the victory. They had the extra day in Shushan of killing the enemies. And therefore, they made the 15th day the day of celebration. So the celebration in the outlying areas is on the 14th. And they celebrate by sending Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. Because the whole essence of the salvation was brought about through the Achdus, so we dafka do things that increase the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. By Yichtov Mordechai Esa Dvarim Ha'Ela, Bishlach Svarim El Kol HaYehudim Asher B'chol Medina Zemel HaKashvirsh HaKrovim V'Aruchogim. So Mordechai sent out this edict to celebrate the victory to all of the nations. L'kayim aleihem lios osim as yom arbaser l'chodesh adar as yom chamisha asar bo b'chol shana v'shana. So he decreed that this should be a permanent chag that we celebrate on the 14th and 15th. Ki amim asher nachu b'hem hayudim b'yavim v'chodesh shenefach lehem miyagun u'simcha me'eva l'yom tov lasos u'sam yimei mishtev simcha mishloach manus ish l'reo matanus levyonim. So he was metakin the hanagas that we have for him of the Mishnah of the 14th and 15th, and the Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. And it's referred to as the Chodesh was Nefach Miyagu Masimcha, so that's why the whole month is a time of Simcha. The Kibel HaYehudim as Asher Hechilu Lasus as Asher Kasav Mordechai Aleihem. They accepted, again, also Be'achdus, they all accepted together the new anhagas that Mordechai had been mitaken. Okay, now the Gra points out that these next psukim sound redundant. Okay, it sounds like these next psukim are repeating things that have already been said. So what the Gra explains is that this is the nusach of the message that Mordechai sent out. Okay, so these next psukim are the message that he sent. Okay. Because Haman, the enemy of the Jews, had thrown the poor to choose a day to destroy them. Okay, and when the time came, the king changed the edict and ended up hanging Haman and his sons. Al Kain Karu Liam Ma'el of Purim, Al Shema Pur, Al Kain Al Koldri Ha'igaris Azos, Umaro Al Kago Ma Higiale. And they named it Purim based on these events. Kimu Vikivu, Hayehudim Aleim, Val Zaram, Val Kol Anilvim Aleim, Velu Yavor Lios Osim, Eshne Ayam Ma'ela, Kirsam Vixamanim, the Kol Shana Vishana. And Klal Yisrael accepted these days to celebrate every year, and because Al Darsh in the Kimu Vikiblu, that they were Mekabel the Torah, that this is the Kabbalah of the Torah Mi'ava, Miratzon, right, without the need for Kfiya, was in the times of the Megillah. The Maral points out that by the etzem fact that they're adding on a new mitzvah, they're accepting a new mitzvah of Megillah, a mitzvah Drabanan, so that shows their Ratzon in the Torah. In other words, if you're not happy with the mitzvahs you're already doing, then you wouldn't add a new one. The fact that they're adding a new one shows that they accept fully the Torah that was given until now. Okay. Also, the Sfas Emes, what was the koach of this new Kabbalah Sa Torah? So Rashi says mi'avas anes, that out of love and appreciation of Hashem because He saved them. The Sfas Emes says an interesting ha'ar. He says that
Davka, once Amalek was destroyed, so that weakened the koach of the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara that was stopping Klal Yisrael from accepting the Torah Miratzon. When Amalek is destroyed, that gets rid of the negative kochos in the world. Yeah.
Is this pasuk still part of Mordechai's?
Sounds like it, yeah. Vayamim ha'ela nizkarim v'nazim b'chol dor v'dor mishpacha medina medina v'ir v'ir yemei purim ha'ela lo yavru mishalcha Yehudim v'zichram lo yasum mizaram, that this will be a constant commemoration throughout the generations. V'tikasiv Esther Amalka basa v'kayim Mordechai Yehudi es kol tokev l'kayim es yiras ha'purim ha'shenis. So they wrote this edict to accept these takanas. V'yishlach Svarim el kol yudim el sheva v'esrim umeya medina malchus achashverosh divrei shalom v'emes. So they sent out words of peace and truth to all the Jews throughout all the nations. L'kayim es yimeya purim ha'ela bizmaneim kasher kiyem aleim Mordechai ha'yehudi v'esrim malka, to accept them the way that they had been decreed by Mordechai and Esther, because her kimo al nafsham valzaram divrei atzomos v'zakasam. A bit of a tricky pasuk, that in the same way that they accepted the tzomos, so too they accepted the celebration of Purim. In other words, just like the Rabbanan were metakin the different tzomos as a zecher of the Puranos of Klal Yisrael, so too the Chachamim established the time of Yom Tov to celebrate the Hatzalah. Umamar Esther Kiyim Dibre HaPurim Ha'ela V'nichra B'Sefer, and based on Esther's decree, they accepted all of the words of Purim and the Megillah itself, which was recorded on a sefer. V'yasam Amalek Achashverosh Mas Al Aretz V'Yayam. So at this point, Achashverosh reinstated the taxes that he had given all these discounts originally in the times of Esther. So now everything was settled. He'd come to a resolution of all the whole crisis. Now he reimposed all the taxes to fill up the royal coffers. The kol ma'aseh tugva v'grosa parshas gedulas Mordechai asher gilu amalek halo heim k'suvim al sefer divrei hayamim v'malchei badei uparas. As far as the political ascendancy of Mordechai and how important he became in the house of Parzamade, that in the kingdom of Parzamade, that you can find in the history books, in the chronicles of Parzamade, that's not nogea to the Megillah. The Megillah is not interested in Mordechai's godus, only in the sense of what he did on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Ki Mordechai Yehudi, Mishneh L'melech Achashverosh, he became the second in command to the Achashverosh. V'gadol Yehudim, he became great among the Jews. V'ratzoi L'rov Achav, the vast majority of Klal Yisrael accepted him. There were certain people who had times that he was too connected to the Malchus. Doresh Tov Lamo, he used his political clout to always look out for the good of his nation. The Dover Shalom Lechol Zaron, to always speak good about all the Jews.
Why does it?